Hello and welcome to a very special episode of Remakes, Reboots, and Revivals. It's special because it's just me, sans Rolando, and Eddie Z. And today I'm actually joined by a super special guest. My guest today is a wedding photographer that serves the tri-state area. She is featured on the Not Won Many Awards and is consistently ranked on there. And she also just happens to be my older sister. You can find her on Instagram, Facebook, all that jazz, at Tina Elizabeth Photography. Please welcome my older sister, Tina.
Hello. Thank you so much for having me.
So Tina is like me, but on the opposite side of the spectrum. So like we're going to share probably the same opinions, but like feel differently about it because that's, you know, we're very yin and yang. That's our relationship.
Very
and she's
true.
A big movie TV buff too.
Yes.
So it's going to be a good time.
I'm excited.
I'm excited too, because we're actually talking about one of our favorite franchises today. We are talking about the Harry Potter series. Now, this is also a special one because today we're going to talk about the Broadway play, Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. So spoilers right now, if you haven't seen it and you want to see the play, or if you haven't read the book and you want to read the book, then you probably shouldn't listen, because we're going to talk about stuff that goes down in the play, and it's spoilers. It's like super spoilers. And I would hope that you're a Harry Potter fan, you would want to go see it.
You should.
100%. Yeah. So yeah, we're going to talk about how Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is very much a revival of the Harry Potter franchise. And it's technically the 8th installment in the Harry Potter franchise. So it's a very unique sort of revival here. But flat off the bat, what house are you in Hogwarts? What were you sorted into on Pottermore?
I am Slytherin all the way.
And
I've taken
that
test 3 times, and each time it said I was Slytherin. And I 100% am Slytherin.
You feel connected to Slytherin?
I do. I'm very much in the Slytherin house. They tend to be ambitious, shrewd, cunning, strong leaders, and achievement-oriented. And they have highly developed senses of self-preservation. And they tend to hesitate before acting so as to weigh all possible outcomes before deciding exactly what should be done.
Well, crazy. You know, if I were to compare it to a famous person, I'd say Slytherin is the Ayn Rand of society.
What house are you?
I'm Ravenclaw. I've taken it 3 times. No, I've taken it more than that, but a couple of times, most of the time I get Ravenclaw, but my second is Gryffindor. Surprisingly, I thought it would be Slytherin. I'm like just not Hufflepuff. I'm always like least amount Hufflepuff.
Yeah, no.
So I'm not kind or honest.
But you know, I think a lot of people are actually Ravenclaw. The other day I went to Party City to look at Halloween costumes, and they had ties for all the houses except Ravenclaw.
Oh, so like people
Why
bought
is
it?
That? Yeah. Ooh. Or they just don't carry Ravenclaw merchandise in stores.
It's like Ravenclaw stupid. I feel like everyone that I know is either a Ravenclaw or a Slytherin.
I feel like everybody I know says they're either Gryffindor or Slytherin.
Yeah, I rarely meet Hufflepuff.
Yeah.
So,
I think people tend to forget about the other houses, if I'm being honest.
That's not cool. Ravenclaw is a great house. Ravenclaw also, if you don't know, is concerned with creativity, wisdom, and intelligence and intellect. So it's like those kind of things. But the emphasis on creativity, because for Harry Potter fans, people are like, well, why wasn't Hermione in Ravenclaw? Because she was so smart. But she was almost kind of like, that was kind of like a restriction for her, you know. She was too book smart and she wasn't able to like kind of open her mind past those things. She was kind of in a way closed-minded. And they say Luna Lovegood was in Ravenclaw because she was so open-minded and free and creative and all this stuff, and very intellectual. So that's what Ravenclaw is big on. So, you know, looks can be deceiving. Just because you're book smart doesn't mean that you're wise.
Yeah,
different shit. We love Harry Potter. We're dropping some real knowledge here.
I know. We went deep real quick.
So we'll back up a little bit and talk about what this play is a revival of, the Harry Potter franchise. The Boy Who Lived. Harry Potter is a young wizard who on the day of his 11th birthday finds out that he is the son of two really powerful wizard parents that were murdered by a very evil wizard and left a scar on him that he's had his entire life, and that he's pretty much the boy who lived, and that he's this great respected wizard. So he goes into a school, Hogwarts, and throughout 7 years of Hogwarts and 7 books, just finds out more and more about the world and his life and his past and what he's meant to do, and makes a bunch of friends and enemies and
makes just history.
Great stuff, and makes history. And it's great. I mean, these are great books. They have great lessons and morals to them. You know, that's why I like this franchise too, because sometimes when you look at other franchises, in my opinion, I don't know if you agree with this, you know, like with Star Wars, it's a lot of fun, but like, what's the moral of Star Wars other than like friendship and all this stuff, where there's just like so much like to take away from morally from Harry Potter?
Oh my gosh, what? There is so much you can learn through Star Wars. It yeah, might seem like Dagobah sci-fi is... and action, but
I'm hating on Star Wars. I mean,
we're
no,
we're not gonna even get into Star Wars.
I mean, no ill will to Star Wars. I just feel like there's not like,
I mean, what did you learn reading the Twilight books? There's a good comparison. Oh, nothing.
Yeah, okay, I'll do that comparison. Yeah, if you read Twilight, you know, it's like throw everything away for a boy and vampires are sexy and sleep with older men. But like, there's so much to take from Harry Potter. So I'm a big fan of them. And actually, recently, there's been a revival of sorts in the movie world with Fantastic Beasts. Have you seen any of those movies?
I haven't. No.
Oh, I saw the first one.
Oh, yeah. I forgot there was a second one, too.
Yeah.
I heard they were fun.
You know, Fantastic Beasts is kind of fun, but it's kind of like halfway in between. It's like, if we're going to get more Harry Potter stuff, we should either get something with the Harry Potter world and a continuation, or just something that exists in the world and has nothing to do with Harry Potter. And this movie's in between. It like exists in the world and it has a lot of stuff that it introduces, especially like America's version of the magic world.
And which is cool, because I think people, you know, the deeper you dive, you would dive into Harry Potter books and film, you would kind of wonder like, okay, well, if this is just one section of this, what is the other half like? So yeah. I think it's cool that they kind of showed what wizards are like in America.
Oh, it's super cool. But then it has all these ties in with Harry Potter. There's Grindelwald and Dumbledore and stuff. And it's just kind of like, do we, I don't know. It's kind of like seeing the prologues or the episodes 1, 2, and 3. It's like, do we really need this?
Yeah.
It's kind of better off if we didn't really see Anakin Skywalker. Well,
we're talking about Star Wars again?
Uh-huh. Constant comparisons to how Star Wars just kind of messes
it up. Yeah. I'm telling you, we can go all day. We should do Star Wars, by the way. I'm more than willing to come back and talk about that, because I love Star Wars just as much as Harry Potter. And yeah, it was kind of cool to see the beginning of Darth Vader. I don't know if I need to go all the way back with episode one, but people just like to see these characters and these stories and this world that you love over and over again.
Yeah.
Like they did it with Lord of the Rings. They brought you back to learn about Bilbo and all that stuff. So this is just another tie-in. But I thought it was genius that then after Fantastic Beasts, Cursed Child came out.
Yeah.
And that was directly associated with Harry Potter.
Yeah. So Cursed Child has only been on Broadway. I know it started in on the West End in London. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So Harry Potter has only been on Broadway since April of 2018. Mm-hmm. So it's only been on for like about a year.
A year and a half.
So, but Harry Potter lives on at the, what theater is it?
The Lyric Theater.
At the Lyric Theater on 43rd Street. Mm-hmm.
It's so cool when you're walking past it.
Mm-hmm.
It sticks out.
It's
everything
gaudy.
It is pretty gaudy. I mean, you don't walk past flying monkeys when you're going to see Wicked outside of that theater. It's like, you know, Harry Potter's inside. And it's nothing special, the design that's outside of the theater, but there's just...
It has presence.
Yeah, a huge presence. And all the way at the top, I don't know if you even saw it, all the way above the theater, like on the roof of the theater, there was like a really large structure of a nest of some kind, and there was a little child sitting inside of it.
Oh, whoa.
Did you notice that when we went?
It must have been the cursed child itself. And who is the cursed child? Spoiler alert. So the plot of Harry Potter and the Cursed Child, and this is very much, if you know where the Deathly Hallows left off, the ending was the epilogue of Harry Potter having kids with Ginny Weasley and sending off his second Albus Severus Potter to Hogwarts. So the cursed child picks up at that scene.
At that exact moment.
And that Albus Severus has, like, you know, so much pressure and just, like, anxiety about going to Hogwarts. Will he live up to his father, feeling like he can't? And then the play begins, essentially. Albus Severus has daddy issues to the max. You know, he just, like, feels very...
It's like middle child syndrome as well.
Yes, middle child syndrome. Just feels like he can't connect with his father. And he's got a lot of angst.
And like what you said, he feels a lot of pressure to live up to being, like, Harry Potter's child and living in his shadow. And almost immediately, he goes to Hogwarts and he gets sorted into the Slytherin house.
Yeah, which also that he feels like brings some shame into, like, his family and all of his friends, because everyone is in Gryffindor. Mm-hmm. The Weasley kids and his older brother, James.
Even he went to school with Harry and Hermione's daughter, Rose.
Yeah.
She got sorted first and she went into Gryffindor, and then he came and was sorted into Slytherin. So automatically, first year, he already feels like a failure to his
family. He
feels
like an outsider. So then he doesn't really make a lot of friends until he meets this one boy who is also very much an outsider, who ends up being Draco Malfoy's son, Scorpius. Mm-hmm. And they become really good friends. And so because Albus in particular has, like, this chip on his shoulder and something he needs to prove, he overhears his father talking to fucking Cedric Diggory's father about how he wants Harry Potter to use a time turner that the Ministry of Magic found, because in this world, Hermione's the Minister of Magic, and he works there, to use a time turner to go back and to save his boy. And Harry Potter's like, you know, I can't do that, bro. Like, you know, the world is
this,
the way it is.
What is this, 17 years after?
17 or 21 years.
After the Battle of Hogwarts. So at this point in time, Harry was saying that time turners are illegal.
Yeah,
that people started to use them to try and bring back Voldemort, and just were using them for all the the worst circumstances. So now time turners are actually illegal in the wizarding world.
Yeah. And he definitely wanted to rewrite fate with that.
Yeah, that, like, bringing back someone from the dead, basically.
Yeah. So, like, an idiot, Albus Severus is like, I'll do it, and drags along Scorpius. And goes up to Cedric Diggory's, what's his name? Angus Diggory?
Angus Diggory, I believe. Yeah. So the reason why Albus wanted to go back to save Cedric is because he thought if Cedric ends up winning the
Triwizard Tournament,
the Triwizard Tournament instead of Harry, then Harry will not go on to accomplish all the great things that he does in life, and Voldemort will live on or whatever. And he won't have to live in his father's shadow.
Yeah, it's really selfish.
Basically, yeah. For a really selfish reason, he decides he's going to take this task on.
Yeah.
Get the time turner illegally. And he breaks into Hermione's office.
Yeah, all this stuff. But also, they meet a friend along the way. When they go to Diggory's house, they see this girl, Delphine, who's like a cousin, Delphine Diggory. And they all do it together. And then just, it's like chaos. We can't really go through, like, the in and outs of it, but
there's so much.
It goes through so much. And actually, if you don't know it too, it's such a huge story and so much to tell that usually Broadway plays have a first act, an intermission, and then a second act, and everything's done under 3 hours. There's so much to tell that they had another showing of first act, kind of technically the third act, and then an intermission and a fourth act. So it's a four-act play.
It is a four-act play. So we got there and we started the day at 2 o'clock.
Mm-hmm.
And by the time the second act was done, it was 4:30.
Yep.
And then we came back to the theater
at 7.
At 7 for the 7:30 showing, I believe. By 10:30 that night, we were completely done and we had seen the entire play.
Yeah.
They do break it up sometimes where you can go on a Tuesday and then come back on a Thursday or something.
Yeah. If you don't live in New York, it's just so inconvenient. But
it is a lengthy story.
It's very, there's a lot
to it.
It
is a long day, but there's so much detail. The crazy thing about it, though, at least to me, every act flew by.
Yeah, it was a well-told story. It seemed
to go really fast.
Well, the first act in particular, though, like they just kind of, it takes a while for it to kind of kick off because the first act gets it such a fast pace. It's so much information, and they almost put like the first and the second year of his Albus's Hogwarts experience like fly by within like 15 minutes.
Within the first act, Albus went through 4 years of Hogwarts.
They just like sum it up like with choreography past, and fast dialogue, and it's just crazy. So it kind of slows down after that. So at first you're kind of like, what's going on? But it's pretty good. But without giving up too much, you know, they find out who this cursed child is because of all this stuff, and they're able to save the day.
I mean, I feel like we're gonna have to really go again, in with the spoilers, because there are so many fantastic things that they do in this show, and we have to talk about it.
Well, so that's the thing too, like, I mean, so the plot and the production level of this show and the production value of the show kind of go hand in hand. And the production value was just so astounding.
It was unbelievable.
This is like, what they did. This is a play about people who have magic, you know, wizards and witches and stuff. So there's a lot of illusion tricks. You're watching like a lot of magic tricks happen on the Broadway stage. That's not even like, you know, like a quarter appears behind his ears. Just like, how did they do that?
It was some of the fastest quick changes I've ever seen on a Broadway stage. They literally were doing magic where like Harry Potter was in his office and there were papers all over his desk. And then he flicked his wand and suddenly every single paper went into one big pile.
Yep.
I was like, what did I just see?
So crazy.
Like tiny little things like that, that you're just like, how did that happen?
Yeah. They travel through time a lot in this show. Spoiler. They're like time traveling constantly. And the effect of them time traveling was just so cool. The first time it happened, you were like, what?
Oh my. The first time it happened, when they used the time turner and went back in time, the entire stage just kind of shifted and moved. And the audience was blown away. Everyone was screaming and applauding. Like, what did we just see? It looked like the entire theater just kind of went back in time with them. And that was the other thing. There were so many effects that involved the whole theater.
Yeah.
There were moments where the theater just kind of went black, and then there was this glow in the dark writing all over the theater that popped up out of nowhere. And
so when they find out who the cursed child is, they like are like, wait a minute, there seems to be writings on the wall, and they do like a Lumos with their wands, and the whole theater, you see the writings on the walls, and it's just this really cool effect.
I get chills thinking about that.
Yeah, every act ender, particularly the second act and the third act endings were pretty like crazy. But the second act ending, when you either have to wait a couple hours to come back or the next day, was so astounding.
It was unbelievable. We sat on the side balcony, so we kind of had the perfect view of the entire audience. Mm-hmm. And there were glimpses, like when the spotlight would pass over the audience, that I would catch of just people like with their mouths dropped. And I was just sitting there like, oh my gosh, like what is happening?
It was crazy.
It doesn't sound like much when I talk about it.
Yeah.
But, and this is why I keep like saying to anybody who asked me, go see it, because it was just unbelievable to witness.
Yeah.
Especially as a Harry Potter fan, like to see a Dementor in front of you, really close, flying, was just, it was so creepy and awesome. I geeked out hard over
it. It was that, yeah, for Harry, not only for Harry Potter fans, but for just like a really good night out at the theater, the production value was unlike anything I've ever seen. I went in cold. I didn't read anything. You know, I didn't really even look up the plot much. So, like, everything was just a major surprise for me. And I was just, like, blown away with how much was put into it. And with even, like, simple tricks that they did. And just, like, the time and just, like, yeah, just overall well done production. Mm-hmm. Like, that's the one thing that anyone who walks out, if they don't like the story or the way that it's told, you can't deny like the production value of this show.
The good thing is, if you don't know Harry Potter as well as like us who are like super geeks about it, don't know it, when you go to the play, they do give you a playbill that kind of like outlines Harry Potter's 7 years through Hogwarts and key characters in the Harry Potter books and key like phrases and places that you should know before you see the play.
For sure.
And even if you are a Harry Potter fan and just haven't read the books or seen the movies in a while and just kind of need a brush up, they do provide you with some information so you don't go in totally blind, mm-hmm. which is good. Even though we sat there like, well, what? Who would watch this after, if they haven't seen any of the other Harry Potter movies?
Yeah, because it's like Cedric Diggory, you need to know about that. And you need to know about like the Ministry of Magic and the Weasleys and just like so many different things. Mm-hmm. So, and they make references to other stuff in passing too. Like Moaning Myrtle shows up in the show.
Yeah.
She was great.
She was fantastic.
So, I mean, yeah. But a lot of, so there's new kind of characters, but a lot of them are just like the grown-up versions of the people we know. Harry Potter, Hermione, Ron, and Draco Malfoy, and Ginny Weasley.
Mm-hmm.
What did you think of the performances of those characters, in particular Harry Potter himself?
I thought he was great. After a while, he just kind of started to look like an older Harry Potter to me. Like, he looked like Daniel Radcliffe.
Mm-hmm. Except taller.
On stage, yeah. He was very good looking, too. I liked him a lot. I thought he was great. I thought that's exactly how Harry would be as mm-hmm. a father and as an adult. So I thought he was great. I loved everyone else as well. I liked that Draco and Harry kind of speak now. They still have like a little bit of angst towards each other.
Yeah.
But they do have somewhat of a better relationship now. And I loved Hermione. Hermione was always badass. She's badass in this play. She comes through for them mm-hmm. anytime they're stuck with certain moments. So, and Ginny too. Ginny was great too. And Ron was really funny. Mm-hmm. 10 times funnier in the play than he ever was in the movies.
Yeah, he was endearing in the play.
Yeah.
Oh, and Snape makes a appearance in this too.
So yeah, that's the really fun thing about this show is there are so many callbacks to characters that we all know and love.
Mm-hmm.
Like Hagrid was in it.
Hagrid.
Snape was in it. When he turned around and the audience saw him, it's like you got chills.
Yeah.
Ugh. And then you do see Voldemort.
Yeah, Voldemort even himself makes a...
That was very exciting.
You see Cedric and some of the Triwizard, but mainly Cedric, like mm-hmm. he actually has a moment, you know? So yeah, you're just also like, as a Harry Potter fan, you're just like, oh my God. Mm-hmm. Like,
the one thing that was different from the play than was different from any of the movies was mm-hmm. the music. The music was totally
by
different.
By Imogen Heap.
Yeah, it was not John Williams. There was absolutely
no
Harry Potter
at all to the
music
theme.
Whatsoever anywhere.
Nope.
And it was so far from that, too. It was mm-hmm. nothing like I was expecting, but it worked really well.
Yeah, the music was really cool. The music, yeah. At first, I was like, what the fuck is this? But then after a while, like, just like also the show, just like I said before, it just like kind of starts and you're just like, what's going on?
Mm-hmm.
But then like, you're like, yeah, okay. I feel
yeah. Really early on in the first act, when Albus goes to Hogwarts, they do like this really crazy wand dance, mm-hmm. sort of like where they're learning how to use their wands and they all kind of go into a dance with their cloaks, but like dragging around behind them. And I was and it went on for like a minute or two. It was a pretty lengthy dance number. I was is this what the show's going to be like? And then that was it. That was the only kind of dance number or any musical number there was.
Yeah.
But the music was really good in that moment too.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that was the one thing that's very different from the movies in the play. Other than that, everything
was
very similar.
One thing too that like I really enjoyed and kind of at first I was like, oh, but then I enjoyed it was that they had Hermione, at least for my production. Now, I don't know if this is for every production, but she was played by a not white actress. She was played by a black actress. And I loved that.
I remember when the show opened in London in 2016,
mm-hmm.
They like announced the cast and showed like the cast photos. And Hermione was black in that as well. And Hermione and Ron's daughter was black
mm-hmm.
too. And then they're doing the same thing on Broadway. So I think that might be something.
So far, I've never heard any controversy about that. And I'm really happy about that because also like there's like a lot of white people on stage. So like I'm glad that like at least like, okay, well, this is how you know that it's Hermione and not Ginny because, you know, there's a bunch of light skinned brown
hair. No, I think at first
people.
When she walks on stage, you're like, oh, she's black. And then that's it. Like you get used to it. She's still the same Hermione. Like her personality is totally Hermione.
Yeah.
And like I said, she's badass.
That sucks about Harry Potter is that there's just like, you know, a lot of white people on it. So they kind of like made that more inclusive too, and seeing that on the stage. Because also a person who doesn't know Harry Potter or a kid seeing it on the first time, that's really special. So I enjoyed, and that actress was so good. She mm-hmm. was so good. Mm-hmm. So overall, I thought, I mean, obviously we enjoyed the production. Mm-hmm. And the story is really good. Like it starts off a little weird, but then it gets into the groove of it. And by the end of the finale, it's just like,
you're blown away.
Feels like classic Harry Potter, actually, and like the terms of the storytelling and how things kind of resolve themselves. So it's interesting because as a revival for the Harry Potter story, they chose a play. Why do you think they chose it as a play instead of just releasing this as a book?
It came out in 2016. When was the last Harry Potter movie?
2007. Oh, the last movie was like 2012? Maybe?
Okay. So I don't know if maybe it felt too recent to do. And, you know.
Even though Fantastic Beasts came out in 2016.
Well, yeah, but like Harry Potter, to use Daniel Radcliffe and Emma Watson.
Yeah.
And all of them, you know. You couldn't stage it to be 17 years after the Battle of Hogwarts or 20 years or whatever it is mm-hmm. with those actors. So maybe instead of writing a whole other book again. And yeah, that's the other thing too. Maybe J.K., who did write a lot of this show.
Even though it wasn't written by her.
I think so. Harry Potter and the Cursed Child is available to purchase as a book. You can mm-hmm. go to Amazon, Barnes & Nobles right now and you can purchase it. I have it sitting right next to me, my copy.
Yeah.
And it's not written as a Harry Potter book. It's not written as a book at all. It's the actual play script in a book. So when you read the book, it will say, you know, Acts 2, Scene 10, Hogwarts, Headmistress's Office. It will describe the scenery for you in the book. And so maybe she didn't want to write a full Harry Potter book, but she kind of knew the story that she wanted to tell. And thought, hey, you know, it might be kind of cool to put on a play. That's one thing I haven't done. I've done a movie. I've done a book.
Yeah, I don't know how she came up with the idea. She co-wrote the story with a man named John Tiffany. And then the actual script was written by Jack Thorne. So she gave it her blessing and had something to do with the development of it. And J.K. Rowling was like, I think a lot of people are going to be turned off by the fact that it's a play, but once they see it, they'll know that it's really the only way to tell the story. And I think that it was actually a really smart move because nobody, like, it is too soon for another book and then movie to come out with the same actors. That story was told, that chapter was closed, and I feel like if you're going to reopen it with this revival that they did, that there's a way to, they wanted to do it new. They wanted to present something new and a new experience almost. And we've read Harry Potter. We've seen Harry Potter in the movies. You know, we can go to Harry Potter World and have that interactive experience, but we haven't like sat down and watched a play. So it's just like a brand new way to experience something. And also just like brand new, like not only that, you're getting this whole new experience, but you're getting it in a completely different way that you've never experienced Harry Potter before. And I actually thought that obviously it's also kind of like a tourist trap and a moneymaker and all this stuff. But well, yeah. Like, it's really smart.
I think when it came out, people were really upset with it at first because of that. Like, come on, you're going to make me pay $200 to go see Harry Potter and hear all about this story that I love. And it may have upset some people when it first came out. But I think once people read the script and saw the play, you can't deny it. It was a fun experience, and it's great to always see these characters again. These characters are so beloved.
Yeah.
So why not go and spend a couple hours with them?
For sure. And just so you know too, that the producers and Rowling have asked for people to not share the secrets, which is why we're not really telling you who the Cursed Child is and too much past the basics of it. Even though, you know, they know, you know, that they go back in time and all this stuff. But it's just, yeah, so hashtag keep the secrets, guys. If you've seen it, don't be like, oh, well, they're not telling you, but the Cursed Child is blank, you know, like, because we're not doing it. So be cool.
We'll mention spoilers, but we're not going to tell you.
We're not going to tell you everything. Every single one.
Go see the play. Go read the book.
You should see the play. So we have been paid by the Lyric Theater and the producers of the Broadway show to give you this episode. No, we're not being endorsed. We're actual fans here. But this is usually the part where we kind of compare the source materials and we wonder whether or not it was needed. And overall, it's just like a brand new Harry Potter story, like the 8th installment. For you, do you think that it was needed?
Do I think it was needed? Oh, man, it's so hard. I really enjoyed it.
Uh-huh.
I think it was great. I think it was true to the story that we know. Yeah, I mean, there was no harm done. So, yes.
It didn't ruin Harry Potter for you.
No, not at all.
Yeah. So before I saw this, I was skeptical about seeing this because I love Harry Potter so much. And I was like, oh, leave it alone. You know, don't, like, I hate when these things just get constantly revived and revived. Like,
what if they ruin it?
Yeah. What if they ruin it? Like, oh, my God, just like let it be, you know, like they did with Star Wars. And just
they did with Star Wars and then they kind of made up for it.
Yeah. It's just, yeah. I guess now, if you do it so many times, one of them you're going to get right. But yeah, so I was just like, I don't know. And then when I got the tickets for it, I was like, well, I'm just going to do it. And like I said, I went in blind and I didn't read up anything. And at first it was kind of like, what? And it was weird. And I didn't know how I felt about it. And then by the end of it, I was like, holy shit. And I will maintain that the only reason why it wasn't needed, but yeah. I'm glad it exists is for a couple of things, because a play is a completely different experience. Mm-hmm. And so now Harry Potter exists in book form, in the movies that we can have forever, and now this play. And I'm going to assume that this play is going to last for a very long time. You can read the books, like for someone who may be brand new to this. And eventually, in a couple of generations, like a kid who might be that age right now where they can read the books and then watch the movie and then they can go to the play. You know, like there won't ever be that recreation of when those books came out and the mania behind it, or when those movies came out and you were just like, oh my God, the next one and the story. But this will constantly keep it alive for people who want, you know, that next installment for Harry Potter. And then just the atmosphere of being at, you know, a Broadway play. And the liveness of it. There's nothing like seeing a play. You know, like sometimes it's almost like don't ever see a movie version of a play or a musical, because the play itself will always be better. There's nothing like seeing anything live. And it's just really cool that it exists within that format, you know, within that medium. The story was good. Overall, it's really cute. And I also like the differences between the generations. And one of the things that it brought up too was like Harry Potter growing up, and a lot of things that like were happening where some of the characters were like, who have you become, and mm-hmm. age withering you, and you kind of like losing sight of who you are. But like, you know, this is a show had a lot to do with identity. Mm-hmm. And so like it always, Harry Potter, it was true to Harry Potter too, where it always had this like moral compass that was guiding it. And friendship was a big part of it, and mm-hmm. family dynamics and the past and the present and the future, just like, yeah, you know, so it brought back all those things that I felt in other stuff when I experienced it for the first time. And so did we need it? No, of course not. Harry Potter would have been perfect if you would have left it alone. But mm-hmm. this was a nice kind of cherry on top.
Mm-hmm.
So long-winded answer, but
no, I actually heard rumors that they might be turning it into a movie. I feel like I saw somewhere that they were talking to Daniel Radcliffe again.
Shit.
That the Cursed Child has a new logo somewhere. I forget. I saw this like 2 months ago.
Man, if they just wait a couple more years for him to like age, and just also for us
he
to like...
He doesn't age. Yeah, none of them do. They all look exactly the same.
But it's only been like 6 years since the last movie.
I know, that's true. But they still need some more time. People can change in 6 years.
People, yes, true, for sure. I mean, yeah, from them and the Sorcerer's Stone to the Prisoner of Azkaban even was like, what? But I still think it needs some time before it becomes a movie. I still want to enjoy it and like have the mystique mm-hmm. of just being a play.
Yeah, I hope it stays on Broadway.
Yeah, I hope it does.
For a while. Yeah. Because I was watching it thinking, I want to come back and see this.
Yeah.
Like, I couldn't get enough.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see it again. And also, like you said, how it's true, we won't ever get that fandom back of people, you know, being excited about a new Harry Potter book coming out and a new film coming out like it was before, and how a new generation can now read Harry Potter, watch Harry Potter, and then go see it live. There were so many kids at that play. And so they were dressed in robes.
Yeah.
It was the they were all carrying around wands. Mm-hmm. It was so cute.
Yeah.
And it was so great to see kids there because you know that they love these stories and they're reading them and they aren't going to die.
And it's just so good to go to the Broadway stage and not see just elderly white people in the audience.
I feel like Broadway's the one place where I don't just see elderly white people everywhere. So many different ages and races love Broadway and appreciate it.
No, they definitely do. They can't afford it, but they'll spend the money on Harry Potter because it's that good. Because also, like, a four-act play, I spent $100. That's worth it.
Yeah.
I spent $100 on Beetlejuice. Not worth it. Yeah.
Yeah.
The pricing actually was overall for the production level and what you think you're paying for. You're like, okay, I get it. Like, I've paid probably more for something that was bullshit.
I paid $200 to see the Spice Girls for my ticket alone.
Damn. That's ridiculous. I would only pay that to see
Beyonce.
And
they were amazing, by the
way. I'm sure they were amazing, actually.
Oh, yeah. I would totally pay that to see Beyonce. Mm-hmm. I mean, the thing is, I don't know why, but Broadway is expensive, but it's worth it most of the time. Like Nicole said, if you're going to see a Broadway show, see something before you see Beetlejuice, because I'm pretty sure the movie is better than the musical with that one.
Yeah. Do your research and pick your Broadway shows wisely and pick your prices wisely.
But this one's worth it. It was worth the $200 we spent to see it.
Collectively.
Collectively, yes. And I would do it again. I would easily spend $200
all over
again.
I would totally go see that show again.
I would spend $400 to see Hamilton or Dear Evan Hansen.
That's outrageous.
I would do it though because
you spend $400.
How else am I
going to
see
it? Because you sit on that every day for years.
Yeah, but experiences are so great.
They are, but not more than $100. Only if it's Beyonce or Harry Potter.
Hakuna Matata.
Well, on that note, so go see Harry Potter and the Cursed Child. You know, we wanted to give it our kind of review because we saw it and we were super excited with it. And we love Harry Potter, and it's a revival of sorts. So, thanks for chatting on this special episode with me.
Thanks for having me.
You're welcome.
We should talk about the next Star Wars movie when
it comes out. Yeah, we'll. We'll think about it. All right, so until next time, stay unoriginal.